go to churchofhope.com/Easter. Let us know the service that you are coming for. Let us know the people you have invited as we just prepare for an awesome weekend next weekend. Wow, the enthusiasm in this room is incredible. Just listen, this wasn't Time Change Weekend. We did that already, so here we are. And I'd like you to prepare in your hearts. And it just preparing is good. When I turned 50, my daughters said, "Let's go skydiving." I said, "That's really not on my bucket list. I really could live a complete life without jumping out of a plane." And they said, "But we would like to create a memory." And they know how to get me, manipulate me, twist me around their little fingers. And they said, "When we turn 50, we'll remember that we did skydiving together on your 50th birthday." So on my 50th birthday, I jumped out of a perfectly good plane. And I survived because I'm here. Now, I'm glad that before I went up in the plane that they prepared. They packed my chute and they did it right. They did a pre-flight check of the plane. Have you ever flown? Ever gone on a plane? It's very important that they do the pre-flight check and they prepare for you. In fact, this last week, Darla and I flew to Phoenix. And the plane that we were going to fly in hit a bird. So it delayed us by 3 hours, but I'm happy for them to check the airplane and make sure it's prepared to take off and make sure it's in good shape before it goes up, because preparation is important, especially for big events. So we're coming up to a big event next weekend, Resurrection Weekend. And the preparation is, well, it's important. In our own hearts, in our own souls. We've had a couple of weddings in our family, and we have prepared for the big day. Lots of plans. You've got to go buy a dress. Got to get some food together. Got to invite your people. So we are just a few days away from Easter. And I want to just talk for a few moments about preparing for Easter. And we're going to open the scriptures to a passage in John chapter 12, where it was a few days before Passover. In fact, the opening verse of chapter 12 says it was six days before Passover. 6 days before Jesus would give his life on the cross, go into the tomb, not stay there. He only rented it for the weekend. He only used it briefly. But it's just the week before. And so this chapter is about what happened on those days before Easter. Of course, Palm Sunday was part of that week before Easter celebration. And I just want to look in this chapter at a few keys to preparing for a great Easter. There's a lot of them. If you study this Holy Week, you can find a lot of things that you could do to prepare your soul for an incredible Easter, because God would like to do greater things inside and through you. Do you know that? Are you aware of that? That God would like to do greater things. So he wants you to prepare. And the first thing we find out is that before Jesus had the Palm Sunday entrance, he gathered with a few friends. And in fact, he did this several times during this week. He gathered with a few friends and he shared a meal with them. In fact, the opening part of chapter 12 says he was in Bethany, which is just a small town outside of Jerusalem. And he's at the meal that is honoring Lazarus is there. And Lazarus has recently had a life-changing encounter with Jesus. How many would agree that being raised from the dead would be a life-changing encounter with Jesus? So this guy was dead. Like, not just passed out for a few minutes. He was dead. And he's sitting at the table now, and people that see him there goes, he was dead. In fact, he was so dead that when he came out of the tomb, he was stinking. It's dead. And Jesus did this the week before to get people ready for the message of resurrection, because resurrection changes everything, that God is not even held back by death, that he is the Lord of all life. And when he steps into your life, he brings life and brings things that were dead back to life. That resurrection power is in this room today, and you could experience it. First thing to do is to focus on Jesus. There's a lot happening in the Easter season. There's checklists, and you got to go out, and you got to get some stuff, and maybe you got some food to prepare, and some guests are coming into town, or maybe you bought some chocolate eggs. I'm not against chocolate. I'm actually pro-chocolate. And I know people have bunnies, and I know it's not about bunnies, but I'm not against bunnies. I'm not against the families getting together to eat. I'm not against all that. But I just, in the midst of all of that, make sure as you prepare for Easter, you just are very aware it's about Jesus. And that's what happens in this home where Lazarus, the guy who had just been brought back from the dead, is present. The disciples are there. They're eating food. Some people are thinking about the food they're eating. Some people are thinking about Lazarus. But there's this woman named Mary is completely focused on Jesus. So much so that she gets up, and here's what the scripture says goes on. Mary took a pound of very costly spikenard and anointed the feet of Jesus. People tell us that this oil was so expensive, it would be like a year's salary in one bottle. Whatever, just think of what you make in a year as you fill your taxes out. Just look at that number. And then in one moment, she pours out this expensive oil on Jesus. She is so focused on Jesus. It's not about eating. It's not about Lazarus. It's not about being in this home. It's so much about Jesus. She pours it out, and she wipes his feet with her hair, and the whole house is filled with the fragrance of the oil. She is so locked in on Jesus, she doesn't care what anybody else thinks. Have you ever loved Jesus so lavishly that other people don't get it? In fact, she took some criticism. The people at the table criticized her, and the disciples criticized her, and Judas criticized her, and Jesus said, "Leave her alone." He said, "I came into the house. She didn't even wash my feet to get my feet ready," which would have been proper etiquette in that day to have some cleansing before the meal. He said, "You didn't wash my feet, but she washed my feet with her tears and with your oil." She was so locked into Jesus. And in this week of preparation, coming up to resurrection, don't be distracted by the bunny. Don't be distracted by the eggs and the chocolate. And in fact, if people give you chocolate and you don't like it, just put it in the bucket. We'll know what to do with it. We'll put it into the ministry. Really, we will put it into the ministry. But it's not about all that. It's not about getting new clothes. Some of you are going to go buy an Easter outfit, and that's okay. But it's not about that. It's about Jesus. And as we enter into this holy week, maybe you can take some extra time for Jesus this week. Maybe get up a little bit earlier. Read the stories of Jesus from the scripture. Read what he went through this week. Maybe come to an additional service. Maybe come on Wednesday to worship, or come to Good Friday to worship, to make this week about Jesus. So when you move into resurrection weekend, you will be fully engaged with Jesus. Focus on Jesus. That's what Mary did in preparation for Passover. 6 days before Passover, she is focusing on Jesus. The second thing I want to take from this passage of scripture is to just believe this week and believe that God is calling you to more. Believe that God is calling you to better. On this Palm Sunday, we remember that Jesus entered into the city and the whole city became alive with his presence. The scriptures tell us what went on this weekend so long ago. It was the next day after Mary's encounter with Jesus. A great multitude had come to the feast, and when they heard that Jesus was coming into the city, Jerusalem, they tore down the branches off the palm trees, and they went out to meet Jesus and to greet him. And watch what they say, Hosanna! If you are taking notes, Hosanna means salvation is now. Something is happening with this Jesus coming into the city. Hosanna, the Savior is arriving. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. They were celebrating Jesus as the Messiah. For thousands of years, the prophets had told about the coming of the Messiah, the Christ, the one who would bring salvation. And they were now looking at Jesus as he came through the gates of the city, and they were saying, here he is. Something better has just entered our city. Hosanna! Are you ready for something better in your life? Maybe you could just let a Hosanna go. Just go ahead. It's just Hosanna. Just Hosanna. It's something. Now be careful as you focus on Jesus. And as you prepare for something better, be careful that you are not trying to lead Jesus, but you are allowing Jesus to lead you. Because when they said Hosanna, they had an agenda for Jesus. Jesus, you're the Messiah. We know that you'll enter into the city. We know that you'll go to the seat of government. We know you'll overthrow these Romans who are occupying us. We know that you'll set up the kingdom of God. We're ready for all that to happen. And when Jesus didn't do it quite the way they expected him to do it, they turned. And sometimes that happens to people today. They come to Jesus, and when Jesus doesn't do the first four things they want him to do, they go, Jesus, you're not doing what I wanted you to do. It's not about that. We're called followers of Jesus, not leaders of Jesus. And the safest thing is just to go, Jesus, I'm believing for something better. I don't even know all that it entails, but I know that as I walk with you, it's going to be better. I trust you, Jesus, to lead me. Some of you are in the midst of a storm. You don't know what's going on. He's going to lead you through the storm. Some of you are facing a mountain, a huge mountain, and he's going to lead you over the mountain, or he can actually take the mountain out of the way if need be. It's to follow him. It's to say, as I prepare for Easter, Hosanna. But Jesus, I'm not going to tell you what to do in my life this week. I would like this week to be a special week of following you. I'm not going to tell you what to do in my life. I'm actually just going to surrender my life to your life. I'm going to follow you. Hosanna. Something better is coming, and I know that you're going to lead me to that place. And they cried out, Hosanna. The third thing I'd like to take out of this passage of scripture is this, and we're encouraging everyone to share the love of God in this season. And I'd like you to share the good news of resurrection. That was happening in this weekend, because before Jesus resurrected from the dead, he brought, remember the guy's name again, Lazarus, from the dead. That was like the warm-up. It was to put into the hearts and the minds of the people that even death cannot stop this Jesus. It was to sow a seed. Even death can't stop him. And people that saw Lazarus resurrected were filled with wonder. And it must have been mind-blowing. Like, I've been to services, funeral, memorial services. If the person got up, I would never forget it. It would rock my world. And these people had been there and they'd seen it. And here's what it says they did. Verse 17, so the people that were with Jesus, when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead, just continued to tell people about it. They would meet people and say, hey, I was there. I was at the graveside. And it was very dramatic. Jesus says, Lazarus, come out of there. And we're like, is that going to happen? And so we're looking into that dark cave, and then we see Lazarus. And he's all wrapped up in his clothing, so he can't walk very well. He's just kind of... I know you... How else did he was wrapped up? Because Jesus, once they got out, he said, take that stuff off him. Take the clothes. Take the bandage. Take the clothes. Unwrap him so he can be a little freer, because we brought him back to life, and now he doesn't have to be bound up anymore. And that's a whole other message. They were filled with the story of resurrection. And in our community, in our homes, in our places of work, this week we should be filled with the story of resurrection. We should share that with other people, because the story of resurrection changes the city. Changes the city. In fact, the Pharisees who opposed Jesus, they say in verse 19, this story of resurrection that you keep telling people, we can't oppose it. The Pharisees said, hey, our opposition is accomplishing nothing, because look what's happening. The whole world, well, that was their world, that was their city. The whole city is going after him, which made them very nervous, because the story of resurrection changes culture. Right? The disciples that followed Jesus, as they talked about this resurrected Christ, the people said, these people are turning the whole world upside down. Well, I think the world is ready to be turned upside down once again. I think that we should be part of that. And the real change comes with the message of resurrection, that there is a God that loves us so much that even when we die, that doesn't stop his love. He still overpowers death and brings people back to life. And so they were just telling, and this should be a week that we're telling people what Jesus has done in our lives. And if Jesus hasn't done something wonderful in your life lately, stop leading Jesus and start following him. Because when you follow him, watch out. Like, when you follow him, stuff happens. Life-transforming things happen. And if you don't have a good story about yourself, tell somebody else's good story. These people were telling Lazarus' story. Hey, I saw Lazarus, and he came back from the dead. Wow. So this week, I continue just to cultivate and to pray over your top five list, which we encourage everyone in the church to have, a top five list of people that you're regularly praying for, just calling their names, praying God's blessing, people that you're committed to being a positive influence in their life, to share the love of God, and then people that you're inviting to receive the grace of God. This is a great time. There's an awareness in our culture about the kingdom of God and about Jesus in this season that we just need to be aware of and tuned into and help cultivate. I said it earlier, and I'll say it again. People are just waiting. People know it's Easter. I should go somewhere. I should go to church. And so we're just encouraging you to take those little cards and take the door hangers and get a bunch of them and just go into your neighborhood. Just bless homes. Say, Jesus, bless this home. Bless the people that live in this home, and hang it on their door. And you don't have to interrupt their day. And if they engage you in conversation, that's fine. But just be people that share the good news of resurrection, because that changes the city. That changes the community. And I know some are hesitant to go, I'm It's uncomfortable to share about resurrection. And what if people don't receive it? What if I invite somebody and they say no? What if they don't understand my motivation? Isn't this whole week about people not understanding Jesus' motivation? Jesus entered the city, and what did they do by the end of the week? They crucified him. They rejected him. And if we follow him, sometimes people won't get it, but it doesn't stop us from loving them. It doesn't stop us from reaching out. It doesn't stop us from sharing the good news. We do it anyway. I'll promise you, when you share the good news, some people just won't get it. Like, this chapter has that in it. Some people just won't get it. In fact, there's a part of this chapter where Jesus talks to God, and God speaks out loud from heaven. Now, I've never heard that, God speaking out loud from heaven, but it has to be dramatic. And some people say, well, if God would speak out loud from heaven, man, I would believe. No, you wouldn't. Because here's in this, watch what happens. Some people just don't understand. When you invite, when you share the good news, they just don't get it. Here's what happens in the 12th chapter of John. A voice speaks from heaven. That's God's voice. And Jesus said, I want you to glorify your name. And so the voice speaks from heaven and says, I have already brought glory to my name, and I'm going to do it again. And everyone fell on their knees, and everyone fell in love with God. No. Every time you invite people, they'll just fall on their knees and accept. No. And so God, how many would just know that God would be pretty good at speaking? That his communication, how many think that God speaks clearly? And he spoke clearly. And even though God spoke clearly, listen to the people's response. The crowd that heard the voice said, did you hear something? Did you hear something? I think maybe it's thundered. I think that was just thunder. No, that couldn't have been God speaking from. No, that it must have been thunder, or maybe possibly an angel, but certainly not God. But they weren't getting it. Some people just don't understand. When you invite, they don't hear clearly. They think you're inviting them to a religious experience, and you're not. You're inviting them into a relationship that will change their lives and fulfill them in ways they aren't even aware of yet. And when you do the invitation, some people will say, it did it thunder? Not everybody will fall. Not everyone will come. But it doesn't stop us from sharing the love of God. So even when they go, did it this thunder? I don't think I can make it. I'm busy. I invited one person, and they said, oh, I got to work. I said, oh, that's good. I'm glad that you're working. I'm glad that you got a job. But we have a lot of services. So I started going. I said, what are you doing on Wednesday? What are you doing on Friday? What are you doing on Saturday night? What are you doing on Sunday early? What are you doing Sunday later on? I just went through them all until I found one that she was available for. Now, some people didn't understand or chose not to understand, and some people wanted to believe, and this happens as well. When you offer an invitation, some people want to believe, but they're afraid of their family, they're afraid of their friends, and that happens in this chapter too. They're just afraid about what other people think about them. Look at verse 42. Many people believed in Jesus. They heard about this resurrected Lazarus, and they believed in Jesus, but because of the Pharisees, the religious system of that day, they didn't want to really confess that they believed, and they were afraid of what people thought about them for fear they would not say they believed in him because they were afraid they'd be kicked out of the synagogue. Why? Verse 43 tells us their motivation, because they love the praise of people more than the praise of God. And some people would love to follow Jesus, and there's a battle going on for their souls right now. And we just want to help and be part of what the Holy Spirit is doing in their life by inviting. And even though they have fears, we want to help them to overcome their fears. And if their own natural family rejects them, we want to be the family they need here to support them. That's what we want to do. So not everybody's just going to open their arms and go, oh. But some people will. Some people will come. Some people will hear about Jesus. We talk about him all the time here. And some people's lives will be changed for today, for the rest of their life, and for eternity. Because you're focused on Jesus this week. Because you're believing for better. Because you're inviting and including. Here Jesus says that some people will get it. Some people will come into the light, and they'll do it this week, this holy, holy week. Some people will believe and they'll walk in the light. Jesus cried out. He was so impassioned. When he saw people not confessing because they were afraid of what other people thought, he cries out with a passionate voice. And he says, whoever, pause just for a moment. Is there anybody that you know that is not included in whoever? Is there anybody outside of that circle? That is an all-inclusive circle. Whoever! That's you. That's the person you work with. That's the person that you think will never come if you invite them. That's the person you think is so far away from God. Whoever! He cries it out. Whoever! In fact, I just dare you. I double dog dare you to invite the person you think definitely won't come. And you could even say, my pastor dared me. He double dog dared me in church to invite you. And I promise you, the roof will not fall on your head. Because they're in whoever believes in me. Doesn't just believe in me only, but you believe in God. When you believe in Jesus, he's saying you believe in God. Then he goes even farther and says, when you see Jesus, you see God. The one who looks at me and is not just seeing me, but you're seeing the one who sent me. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. It's not too hard. Well, God is so hard to understand. Not that hard. Look at Jesus. Look at the love, the compassion, the mercy, the forgiveness, the grace, the giving of his life. I've come into the world as light. And no one who believes in me will stay in darkness. Okay, those are all-inclusive words. Whoever. No one. It's everybody. I love the verse in the Bible. It says, God is not willing that anyone would perish, but that everyone would come to eternal life. And that's what this week is about. This week is about resurrection. It's about life. It's about coming back to life. It's about saying to Jesus, I give you my life. And Jesus says, great, because I'm going to give you my life. That's the great exchange. And we want that to happen. We want that to happen today. And we want that to happen next week. And we want that to happen the week after that. And the week after that. And the week after that. But we're in this special season where people have an openness and awareness. This, it's even called on secular meet Holy Week. People are like, it's holy. It's Holy Week. I should be doing something. So don't let others get focused on the bunny and the chocolate and the eggs. That's all good. It's okay. But help them to focus on Jesus. Help them to believe for something better. Hosanna, there is salvation. And help them to just hear about resurrection. That even when you feel like life has been so broken that all the pieces will never come back together again, that he's the one that brought Lazarus out of the tomb, and then he followed up with himself. As he gave himself on the cross. He went into the tomb and he didn't stay there. He rose from the dead. And that resurrection power brings the love of God to humanity again. And that love of God would like to enter into your life. And you can receive that today. So we're going to take a moment to close our eyes and just to open our hearts. I promise you the Jesus that we're talking about is in this room right here. That's why he rose from the dead, so he would be present with us. And I promise you he's knocking on the door of your life, your heart. right now so you can actually feel his presence. And all you have to do is say, yes, 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 Lord. That starts a conversation that will go on for eternity between you and God. So it's a simple little prayer that we're praying that just says, Jesus, I give you my life. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. So I'm going to ask everyone just to pray that little prayer out loud with all the people around you that just says, Jesus, I give you my life. Let's say that out loud. Jesus, I give you my life. Please be my Savior and my Lord. That starts a work of God in your heart. And if you're here today and you're saying yes, beginning a relationship with Jesus or renewing a relationship that's grown cold with Jesus because you've been far away from God, I want to remember you in prayer today, and I'm not going to embarrass you, I promise you. But I just want to be praying for you. So I'm going to ask you, if you prayed that prayer and you really mean it, I want to give Jesus my life. I want him to be my Savior and my Lord. I want you just to put your hand up high enough for me to see it, but not just your hand. I want you to raise your eyes up. Yeah, I just want to see you. I'm so glad you're here. I felt God, Jesus' presence on you the whole time I've been talking, so I'm so glad to see what God is doing in your life, man. Way back there, yeah, thank you. Yes, thank you. Bless you. I'm glad you're here today. I welcome it. I'm going to be praying for you. Who else would just say, yeah, I prayed that prayer. Yeah, way back there. I said, thank you. I'm glad you're here. Bless you. I've been far away. Thank you so much. God bless you. I want to be praying for you. And we're praying. Anyone? Just, yeah, I see you right there. Thanks. Thanks, buddy. Thank you so much. Thank you. Don't want to miss anyone. So just hold. Make sure we make eye contact. Then we know it's happened. So I thank God. I thank God for transformation. We're going to stand together. Can everyone please stand? Our prayer team is going to come to the altar immediately, please. And we're going to finish with prayer. And we're going to finish with communion. Now, if you are coming to faith and taking that step of faith, maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you know you should, then I want you in these next few moments, as people walk forward to receive communion, I want you to walk with them. And I want you just to come to one of our prayer team and just say, hey, I'm opening my heart to Jesus today. And let them pray God's blessing over your life. And whatever other needs you have in this room, we believe that God hears and answers prayer. We believe there's power in praying together. I know you can pray by yourself, but Jesus said, if any two or three agree, I'm right there. Something powerful happens when we pray in community. So I invite you to bring your prayer needs, whatever they are, physical, spiritual, emotional, healing, provision. Come and pray with a prayer partner and just say, would you believe God with me? And we'll pray. Whatever the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and I hope he's been speaking to you. And in fact, it's a great question to ask right now. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to hear? What do you want me to hear from this message, from this passage? Some of you just need a holy boldness. Because you're like these people we read about this morning. You're afraid of what other people will think, and it's keeping you from sharing the most incredible message that God has given to you. And it's the message of resurrection, of grace, of love, of forgiveness. And you just need a holy boldness, an anointing of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to pray just for God to bless all of you. And then after that, there's no other benediction. The prayer team will be open to receive you for prayer. If you'd like to receive communion as we begin this holy week, there's communion, the bread of the Lord, the cup of the Lord on either side. And you're welcome to come. You don't have to be a member of this church to come and receive communion. You don't have to be a member of this church to receive prayer. Just a friend of Jesus. If you've been a guest that's here today, thank you so much for coming. We'd love you to come more. We'd like to see you grow into the amazing life that God has for you. If you've been a guest, please, before you leave the building, stop by our VIP room, because you're a VIP. It's over on the left-hand side at the back, VIP, and just some gifts. We'd like to meet you. believe that God has more for you. Let's make this an incredible week of focusing on Jesus, not being distracted by the other stuff. Let's make this an incredible week of believing for more, but not telling Jesus what to do, but following him. And let's make this an incredible week of sharing the love of God with others. Even if they say, it's just thunder, it's okay. Even if they're afraid, help them over their fears. But may the Lord flow through us in an incredible, life-giving way. And I pray this blessing for you. Lord, we know you're here. We acknowledge your presence. We thank you for your life-changing power that is in this room. We ask, God, that you will move through us this holy week. We come to you by faith and we take a step of faith. Thank you for those who are opening their hearts to Jesus. Thank you for those who are opening their hearts to the miracle that you want to do in their lives. We just pray you will bless them. We pray blessing on our prayer team. May the gifts of the Holy Spirit flow through them. We thank you for the communion. Thank you for the bread and the cup of the Lord. As we remember Jesus and take communion, we remember that you died on the cross for us. You went into the tomb and you rose again, and we celebrate your resurrection. And we love you, Lord. And just before I say amen, could you look this way? Because those who are opening their hearts to Christ, we're going to be baptizing the week after Easter. We want you to be a part of that. We want you to sign up for that online or at the Fresh Start Center out in the lobby. And then we want you all to bring friends next weekend, because we're going to give them the same opportunity. We're going to talk about Jesus. We're going to ask Jesus to change lives, bring healing, bring grace, and bring the love of God. And we want your friends to experience Jesus in the Easter season, not just to get caught up in all the religion stuff. We're not asking people to come to a new religion. We're asking them to come into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, I bless you. And in Jesus' name, you're very blessed. And everybody says, amen. God bless you guys. So good to be together. Thank you. Yeah, come forward for prayer. Come forward for communion, especially if you're renewing your faith or taking that step of faith towards Christ. Come and receive prayer today. Can you do that?